Hello everyone. I think it's time now to bring another little pastor's pep talk. Been thinking very much of you and thinking of what to say in these days as we face this social distancing and this isolation together. And the word that popped into my mind this morning as I would like to share with you today is that word hope. Hope. I'm sure that's a word that we've all used in recent days, and I'm sure you've used it as well. Hope. I hope I don't get this virus. I hope my family don't get the virus. I hope that we get a vaccine for the virus soon. I hope the government takes the right strategy and gets it sorted as soon as possible. I hope that these restrictions don't last forever. Maybe some of you even hoped that maybe the weather would be a lot better. You could sit outside and enjoy the sunshine. The thing about these hopes are that they're uncertain, they're unsure, they're not guaranteed, they're susceptible to the environment, to circumstances, to people. And so therefore they're not guaranteed, and we're not so sure if the hope ever becomes realized. But the hope that I want to speak to you about today is a hope that is sure, that is certain and is steadfast. As the hymn writer says, we have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure when the billows roll. We have a hope. And oftentimes when I'm seeking to bring comfort to those who've lost loved ones, I like to speak about that hope that we have for the Christian. It's not mysterious, it's not mythical, it's not vague, it's an absolute sure, assured and certain. It's a hope not based on those circumstances or places or promises by people, but it's a hope that's based on the person and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope that we have a better place, a better environment, a better realm, a better sphere in the future for those who die in Christ. So basically our hope is based on a person, based on an individual. And that hope is based on none less than God himself. Recently I've been reading through Jeremiah. I've been greatly blessed, greatly challenged, and greatly helped as I think about this prophet Jeremiah, one of the most unpopular prophets of his day. Unpopular because he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth in love. He spoke what God wanted him to say. But the people didn't understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they inflicted some terrible suffering upon Jeremiah. He was imprisoned. He was denied food. He was denied his freedom. He was incarcerated. He was forgotten. He was thrown into the bottom of a pit, and he was beaten, and he was afflicted, and he was threatened with death. In fact, some people set a plot to kill him. And on it goes, and we read in his prophecy of the treatment that he received, whilst all the while giving God's word to the people. But my mind turned to this word hope, and I was reading in Jeremiah's other little book, Lamentations. In the Lamentations chapter 3, we read some verses which I want to share with you. It says right at the beginning of Lamentations chapter 3, it says, I am the one who has seen the afflictions. You've seen the afflictions. And on through those verses in chapter 3, he tells of the various afflictions that he received. But then he comes and he brings us a tremendous, stark challenge. And that challenge is found in verse 21. And here's what he says. Yet I will dare to hope. Yet I will still dare to hope. New Living Translation, of course. That is some challenge, isn't it? Even when you've been denied freedom, when you've been denied food, when you've denied the usual things that sustain us in life, I will still dare to hope. Now, what was the basis of that hope that has been a blessing to me that he explains? Well, let me read further these verses. They will be very familiar to you. They'll be a blessing to you. Here's what it says. Verse 21. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. And then we get these two verses. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And he also says this, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. You see, he reminds himself of the many blessings, the many mercies, even in the midst of trials and troubles, even in the midst of difficulties, that the Lord had been merciful. He remembers that the Lord had been merciful to him even when he had his freedom. The times whenever God showed him what to say and undertook for him whenever he was in danger. The many mercies that he knew whenever he had, well, perhaps not been living and walking as he should. Maybe he felt sorry for himself. Maybe he felt that that God hadn't watched over him, hadn't cared for him the way he ought to. But he said, as he reminded himself, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's what he remembered. And that's why he could dare to hope. Because God had never failed him. God had never forgotten him. God had never abandoned him. Even in the isolation, perhaps of a room, of a cell, that was inflicted upon him because of the anger and the wickedness and the injustice of men. He had a lot to put up with. We have basic comforts. We've got our homes. We've got those who are loved ones still able to stay with us, those that are able to stay with us. We've got food, clothing, we've got heating. We've got God's word. We've got one another. We get messages constantly. So we have a lot less excuse or reason to not hope in God. These are many blessings. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning is your faithfulness. God's mercy surround us. We're tripping over them. I encourage you today, dare to hope. Dare to hope in the God that never forgets you, whose mercies are new every morning, whose faithfulness is beyond all faithfulness. We've had many numerous promises to us from various individuals and agencies that they'll do this and they'll do that and they'll get this and they'll get that and will be this and will be that, and they fall flat on their faces and they fail. But God never fails. Hope. I dare to hope in a God who never fails. I dare to hope in a God who never changes. I dare to hope in a God who always keeps his word. And can I encourage you? You hope in him too. Maybe there's someone listening who's never been saved. Can I encourage you to trust him? Put your life in his hands. I've been delighted. Just yesterday I received a phone call from a lady called Hillary. She said, I wanted you to be one of the first to know that on Sunday past, I just put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. I don't know what brought her to that point. I've known her for years. I suspect perhaps that in the trial and the difficulties and the strangeness of the environment in which we live and the uncertainty and the uncertain days in which we are in, that perhaps that prompted her to think about her eternal well-being and her eternal destiny. And she trusted in the Lord. And she was over the moon delighted. And she said one thing. I wish, she said, I had done this long ago. So God is working, men and women, young people. God is working, church family. God is working in our day. God is working in our lives. God is working in our community. Great is his faithfulness. And just because we've been denied a few basic comforts does not mean to say that God isn't working in our hearts. That could exactly be what he's doing. He's working, building, maturing our hope in a great God who never fails and who never changes. Let me quote to you one further verse from Jeremiah in the book of the Lamentation and chapter 3. And let me read to you verse 31. This ought to gladden your heart. Because maybe you feel abandoned. Maybe you feel lonely and alone. Listen, here's what it says. Verse 31 of Lamentations chapter 3. No one is abandoned by the Lord forever. For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. In fact, he says, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I commend this hope to you today? Can I commend this joyous truth that we hope in someone who's the Ancient of Days? And let's pray for one another and encourage one another, seek to contact one another, and let's live out what we said on Sunday and in other little articles. We are a church without walls. And God is a God who's not restricted by walls. And he can come to you right where you are and bow your head and bow your heart. And why don't you just pray this little prayer with me now? Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the hope and assurance that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you for your mercies which are new every morning. And thank you that you're communicating to my heart today where I am and what I'm into. And thank you, Lord, that you're able to draw near. I invite you to draw near to my heart just now and give me strength. And loving Father, for those who are perhaps inflicted with this virus, we ask for healing. For those, Lord, who are uncertain as to where they stand with God, will you draw near to them now and cause them in faith to reach out to God and be saved and changed for time and for eternity. Grant, Lord, that your will and your purpose will be fulfilled these days, and may glory, honour and praise go to your high and holy name. Remembering too, Lord, our NHS staff and those on the front line of the battle, set a hedge around them, we pray, and keep them safe. And grant, O God, that they may indeed know your protection. Close them in with yourself, and may there be many wonderful stories to be told in the days that lay ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just want to give one or two little announcements to you as we approach the weekend again. We are coming very close to Easter. And I want you to remember that Sunday coming is Palm Sunday, and we have a lot to rejoice as we hail the coming King, which reminds us of the King that's coming again. But this Sunday, we're going to do a few things. I was encouraged last week when someone sent me a little video of one of her children as they were dancing and celebrating as we did a little children's course in the service. I'd love to receive more of those. And what we want to do is we want to receive some little videos, a 10 to 20 second video, nothing longer, of your child singing along with whatever course we will do this Sunday. And I've asked someone to put together a little video where they'll be able to show that video in the church service at maybe perhaps the Sunday following. Would you do that for us, please? We'd be greatly appreciated. And also, because we haven't been able to see one another so often, maybe as a family, as you gather around the family altar on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, that you would take a little video, 10 or 20 seconds, of sending greetings one to another and to the rest of the church family. And we would share that in a little video as well, a little movie, by way of encouraging one another. Please think about that. And if you send us in a video, we know that we've got your permission to show it during the church service. I would be greatly appreciated, and we'd love if you do that. Don't forget, this Sunday we're also having communion. So have your own bread and have your own juice, and we will break bread during the service coming this Lord's Day. And may it be a celebration of praise and thanksgiving for what the Lord has done. And another little surprise. We have Peter Manders singing in the service. Yes, Peter Manders singing. What we've got is, what we've done, we've asked some people to send us some songs that they've made up, and we were able to play in the service as a ministry from them to you. And we're looking to the Lord for both services on Sunday morning at 11:30, and again as we broadcast again live at 6:30. And we look to the Lord for his blessing. And let's continue to look to him for his coming again, for it is very near. God bless you till we talk and till we see you again soon. Goodbye.